What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kind of Funny podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Hello, Greg. Hello, Nick. Green light. Are you going to put a red light behind the Superman logo, too, and have Christmas back there?
No. Why would I do Christmas? Superman lights its own colors. I don't need to do anything. You know, it's just how it is. I do want to put, I was telling earlier, you were on this show. Why are we having the same conversation we had on Rex? God damn it, I fell right for it. He's the Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globe trotting, head shotting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez. ASMR.
What's the fortune? This is so exciting.
Oh, yeah. What's
like, ASMR is like not, the people don't want it crunching paper in their pocket.
No, Andy, it's working. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. Break it. Let me hear.
You're an audio listener.
Oh, I didn't like that. I didn't like that.
Andy's opening his fortune cookie from Panda Express.
What is it?
It says say yes.
Does it really?
Okay. No, I
Nick,
can't.
Go. Nick, you get to make a demand of Andy.
I feel like you should introduce our guest because this is going to be a rant. This is going to be a moment.
Okay, let me get Tim out of the way too. He's Forbes 30 under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Greg, what you need to learn is any surface is just another place you can put LEDs. Yeah. So like that, yes, the Superman light already has light, but I'm seeing four whole sides that LEDs can go.
But think about it when I get the light strip underneath it, right? And it's like broadcasting up the wall a bit. Then you'll be all set. You don't need it.
I want LED advice.
Okay. The woman who wants some LED advice, ladies and gentlemen, is none other than Shannon Woodward. You know her from The Last of Us Part 2. You know her from Westworld. You know her from a million other things. Hello, Shannon.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Woo! Thanks for finally coming through. We've been meaning to do this for a long time. And you answered the call yesterday because you had nothing to do today. And I appreciate that.
Boom. And here it is.
2021 coming out of the blocks.
No one was waiting for.
Working on it. You know, working on it. Nick, you have the floor. You hate fortune cookies?
I don't hate fortune cookies. I just think that fortune cookies hate us. And I don't understand why. My earliest memories of fortune cookies were always like you crack it, something to look forward to after a good meal, right? You crack it open and it would always be a somewhat vague fortune that applied to pretty much anyone. Like it would be like, hey, be more like if you're open to new ideas, great things will come to you. I'm like, cool, I should have an open mind about stuff. Lately though, whoever's writing the fortune cookies are just low key like burning people. Like that is a troll that Andy just opened up a fortune cookie. That is a troll. And it's going to make him think for the rest of his day and probably bum him out. And I just, I'm against him now.
Nick's nailing it. Yes.
How is he nailing it? Like, say yes. That's actually a good one. That's like, it's like momentum.
No, it is. Say yes to what?
Kevin, what?
Say yes to your friend about the car thing, then I'd be in. You know, I want more specific fortune cookies. They're too vague. Okay. It's too like, you know what? Give me more.
Was there a character limit? Is there a character limit?
No. They're smaller than the font, Andy.
I 140? Feel like I'm creating a character in Madden and you only have like six letters for the back of the jersey. Like, what the fuck? Say yes. Come on, Panda.
And what makes a good fortune cookie to you?
Say what the best fortune, though, that I did ever see. A friend of mine kept this in his wallet for years. It was a fortune that just said, you're welcome at any party. And he would literally be like, actually, I am on the list. And it every time somebody reads a fortune cookie, I'm like, it's never going to beat that.
No, it's not real good.
I'm with Nick. That's a keeper. I feel like they used to be a little bit more like guide you on the karmic path. But I feel at some point when it got out there, right, when it was no longer hip, this is before the internet, but when it was no longer hip and everybody knew that, like when you read the fortune, it's just to say in bed. I feel like people started writing fortunes then in their head thinking in bed. It's like Andy says, say yes, but you can imagine the Panda Express fortune cooker cook together laughing it up as he writes this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sucks.
I would like to troll people with them and just have things that just say, honestly, just let it go. Yeah. Just stuff like that. Yeah. You know, like you just imagine like everybody's worried about something, really. Just be like, just stop thinking about it. Honestly, they're not thinking about you this much.
That would be amazing. You open it up and it just says you're not the center of everyone else's universe.
Yeah. That's all it says. I don't know who needs to hear this, but you're not the protagonist.
Yeah.
Growing up in San Francisco, we had a lot of different type of Chinese cultures and stuff and influences like this. And in Chinatown, there was not one, not two, but three separate places that will let you get custom fortune cookies.
That's terrible. That's a great
idea. I grew up with this type of shit for my entire life of opening a fortune cookie and it saying some bullshit.
This you know what I mean? Sucks.
Because there is nothing funnier than being an 8-year old and reading a fortune cookie that just says do it. Because we know they're talking about sex.
Sex. See, I thought Shannon was going to go more of the helpful mental health route and being like, hey, just take a deep breath. Like, let's enough with the sort of mystical guidings. Let's just take a deep breath. You know, don't sweat the small stuff. But Shannon just kind of straight up went like, dude, get over it.
Because here's the thing. To some extent, like, you know, we're all going to die one day. Just, you know what? Just find a way to get over it. Just move on. Mm-hmm. Like, you're only wasting time till you get over it anyway. It's a matter of accepting how much you embarrassed yourself or whatever.
You like open up. It's like you're an ant on a ball of mud. Like, it doesn't matter.
The sun will express. The sun will eat us all.
My personal mental health strategy is like nihilism to like absolute nirvana. Right, where you're like, you know what? It doesn't really matter. Everybody's thinking about themselves anyway, not me. So I might as well just accept it.
I wish I could flip that switch. Oh my goodness, I would be so much happier.
I'll be honest with you, my approach to mental health, like good mental health now, is just following Calm on Instagram. And it just says, hey, stop scrolling for a second. I'm like, I've done it today. I've done my mental health duty. This is it. I'm staring at a raindrop for 15 seconds.
Those stories, literally those stories change my sleeping. I'm dying to do a Calm. I'm not famous enough, but like, let me read a Calm story. Oh, to read one?
Hell yeah. That'd be amazing. Are you guys familiar with
what I'm talking about? You guys? Styles. I'm the opposite of you guys where I recently followed a TikTok channel. Do we call them channels? I don't fucking know. But whatever it is.
Is it the sand one?
No, it's not sad. It's called Extreme Shit. But like there's some weird underscores and stuff involved. And it's literally just motherfuckers jumping off of hot air balloons. And like just like the most extreme parkour you can see. So it's the opposite experience of Calm, where like now it's just popping up every day and I see this and I'm just like my adrenaline's running. No. But like now I just feel inadequate in the entire world.
It's either that, Tim, more people inadequate. Jumping off high heights, or when they have a GoPro on their forehead and they're doing parkour on the craziest.
That's gotta stop.
I'm gonna stop you there.
No, swipe away. Yeah, nope.
I'm stopping you right there, Andy. Anytime someone has a GoPro on their forehead, it's probably a bad idea. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're never doing this is safe.
I mean, you see the guys
it's the same thing with the dash cam. I feel like if I was to put a dash cam on my car, I'm inviting the fact that I'm going to have the meteor crash. I'm going to see the car tumble over in front of me because I never see that kind of shit on the road. And I don't want to see that kind of shit on the road.
Wait a minute.
I just want to be left alone. Let me drive.
Did you just go into like a geostorm moment there?
No, I mean, you see that one from Russia where everything's just chill and then it's like all of a sudden this meteorite comes through.
I've seen that. That's amazing.
In other countries, like dash cams are like necessary for insurance stuff.
Well, they do enough for it with Ubers. A lot of Ubers have them.
Oh, do they? Yeah, no, I've noticed that. But it's
all the Teslas have 360 dash cams.
All over the Guardian cam.
Sure.
Guardian cam.
That's cool.
Sure.
Guardian cam? That sure, whatever you call it.
Yeah, isn't that what it's called? The Guardian?
That sounds cool as hell.
It's called Sentry.
Oh my God.
Andy, can you do the suit of armor around the world, please? The quote.
I'm going to put a suit around the world. No, I don't have my Robert Downey Jr. glasses. Sorry.
You got to be ready to perform. Shannon's a big time celebrity.
Andy doesn't spot on Robert Downey Jr. for one. He has one line he can do that sounds spot on.
I mean, that was pretty spot on. Tim, you mentioning the GoPro on the forehead reminds me of a TikTok that I just saw. And I hate that the Kind of Funny podcast has become Here's What I Saw on TikTok. But this one was horrifying, horrifying. You know? Yeah, this one is especially horrifying. Really, really sad. And it is a man who is squirrel suit flying and up ahead had witnessed his friend die.
Oh, God.
And the camera is facing
the squirrel?
Huh?
While he was midair?
Yes, yes. Oh. So, like, I don't know if he's still in the suit or maybe he's already parachuting by this point. No, actually, I think he is in the suit because the GoPro at this point is facing behind him and you see the rest of his body like out or whatever, but all it is on the camera, it cuts to him in an interview being like, he's trying not to cry. And he's like, and that's, I kind of knew immediately what had happened. Like I knew that he was gone immediately. And then psychopaths cut back to him, the GoPro footage of just behind where he's flying from. And he is just screaming at the top of his lungs, like the most pain and fear, and like it is the most, it is horrifying. Like you don't see violence. It. Yeah, Greg, but there's a fucked up part of me that's like, I need to like, what's the resolution? Like, no, the guy died. No, there is no resolution.
You gotta bring fun, stuff here. You know,
you have to say yes.
You guys want to go squirrel soup flying?
Sorry, but I had to bring it back. Even though I'm so sorry for this man and his friend. I'm so sorry.
It was awful.
No, it was worth it for the joke.
Yeah, next time. Jeez,
yeah, no, you got to say yes from here on out. I'm glad you, ladies and gentlemen, said yes to this. This is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five, best friends gather around this table, each coming to bullshit about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. Apparently, it's usually just TikTok and Marvel. If you like that, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where of course you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad free. You could be watching it as we record it live, just like Chance Carter is, Mike L, I got it right, and Corey Scott are. Of course, that's one way to get the show. If you want to give us no money, that's okay. You can get it on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe twice a week, once with guests each and every week. Housekeeping for you, remember, Loki is done. We have our latest reaction up to the finale, but that means that it's time to put Loki into the MCU in review ranks. We'll be doing that early next week, so make sure you catch up on our Black Widow review and, of course, what we thought of Loki so far. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mark Johnson, Julian the Gluten-Free Gamer, and Steve Powers. Today, we're brought to you by Canva, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, Shannon Woodward. Look at you, finally on this show, huh? So, you talk about being a huge dork. You said that when we were setting up, you know, you're a big nerd. You push your PlayStation out of the way. You got your big PC in the back there trying to make a point. You play PC games. I get it. All right.
I mean, I do whatever. I do all kinds of games. I'm not fiscally responsible with my.
Yeah, you fit right in here then.
My type of person. I love it.
Well, what else was I doing all year, man? The whole industry shut down. It was like, I picked the one job I can't do from home because my animals don't want to watch me do monologues. My family doesn't want to watch that. It was awful.
I'm sorry, did you just bleep yourself? Is that what, is that what happened there?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I also have a laugh track if you want that.
I would love that next time Nick I make a joke. That. Could we please? Real
yeah, the next,
like I've been bombing on this podcast the entire time still.
The next joke that's made about a snuff film, that's when we need the laugh track to come in. That's when we're right there.
That'd be good.
I'll make one at some point, probably.
Great. Well, yeah. You know. My question for you, Shannon, then is, you know, I have to hang out with these jabronis from The Last of Us Part Two all the time. You know, your Troys and your Ashleys and your Lauras and all that. Mm. You and I haven't gotten to talk much about it, but I don't even want to talk about the process of it. There's a million podcasts about how you actually recording it and doing all the stuff and put on the suit and yada, yada, yada. My question is, what was that like to do something that is so in line with your passions already? Like, you're talking about what a dork you are, right? But I would have always been like, oh, Shannon Woodward, she's an actress. She knows what she's doing. I've seen her on the TV and in the movies and stuff. And then you cross over to video games and it's like, oh, you also love video games and now you're Twitch streaming all the time and stuff like that.
It's just the easiest thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I stalked my way into auditioning because Hallie Gross wrote on the first season of Westworld.
Yeah.
And we were at a friend's birthday party during the hiatus between the first and the second season. And I was like, what are you doing? Are you like specking? When do you guys go back to the room? And she was like, oh, I'm actually doing like a small stint at this video game company. And I was like, oh, I play a lot of video games. Like, what company? And she was like, Naughty Dog. And, you know, Lost Legacy was about to come out. So yeah. I was like,
Jesus, that was that long ago?
Writing over there? Like, The Last of Us 2, which had not been announced yet. They announced it like a few months later. Yeah. And she went like white and got that face where like you're afraid to get in trouble, which I know well because we were working on Westworld together. And I was like, oh, you don't have to say anything. I won't tell anybody. Like, that's awesome. I'm obsessed with that game. And I was like, tell Neil Druckmann I would like die to have a line. And I meant like an NPC or something.
Sure.
And it went like back and forth for a couple months. Like she'd be like, oh, Neil says this and he liked doing this and whatever. And then a few months later, she was like, you know, there's a role, but like, would you audition? I was like, yeah, totally. Like, do I have to do anything different with my body since they, and she was like, no, you can just, I was like, great. Put me in a weird outfit. People put me in weird outfits all the time. And so
on camera and off.
Yeah. So it was honestly like the first time I read, Ashley was out of town, so Laura actually read Ellie.
Yeah.
And we did the farmhouse scene.
Oh, wow.
And then I did something else, or maybe they only gave me that with Ashley. And then like a month later, Ashley came back into town for the Christmas break because she was shooting in New York, Blind Spot.
Yeah.
And I read with her, and then they hired me a couple hours later. But that was the easiest, because as soon as it was her, I was like, I know Ellie. I know how to love Ellie. Everybody knows how to love Ellie. It's the easiest thing you can do. So it was, honestly, it was easy. And I had dots all over my face, and there's no narcissism in it. All of it gets taken out. It's all the things I like about acting with all the bullshit parts taken out. So they don't have to move in and do cameras like it reset. We don't have to do it for 9 hours. I don't have to ace it line by line, because like every line is a different camera angle, right? Like you got to know when you're shooting a movie or a TV show, you know, like, okay, this is for this part. This is for this part. The other stuff, even if it's bad, it doesn't matter. That doesn't go here. For this, it was just like we would do it like 30 times. And the last one, they'd be like, that was it. All right.
And I don't know if you know
do it again.
I don't know if you know the answer to this, but like, what is the decision making behind what actors are both the likeness and the voice and the motion versus a case like yours where, you know, it is your voice, and correct me if I'm wrong, your motion, you are the one acting it all out, but it's not your likeness.
Yeah, so they designed the Naughty Dog drew a character. They designed a character and they found someone to scan that looked like that. They found someone that looked like the drawing they'd already done. And it also is really a lot of my face, because our faces are so different that it ends up having to adjust and move, because the muscle structure and the way, like, I have like a palsy where one side of my face works a lot stronger than the other. And it's why, like, I can be funny sometimes. Like, so all that ends up in it, and like it starts to morph. So a lot of the only thing they scanned of mine was my hands. Those are my hands.
Oh, interesting.
Like he said, he looked at everyone from Naughty Dog, all their hands, and then saw a picture of my hands. And he's like, oh, Shannon's hands are perfect. I was like, my hands are perfect to play my hands. That adds up. but they couldn't scan any of my face because I look a lot like the Ellie character. And they were worried that if they tried to scan my face in any way, that it would just become confusing. So they had already designed a character when I read. And they had not found a face model for it, but it looked exactly like that pretty much. So that was how they did it. And other people, like, you know, that's just Neil. Neil just decides, like, what he wants.
He sits on his iron throne, yeah, and decides.
Yeah. I am obsessed with him. I love working with him, and he's one of my closest friends. I'm such a fan.
Yeah, Neil's great.
Damn, Greg.
What?
Yeah, sure.
No, I was a you know how much
it was. It was a genuine reaction.
It was
that
such a whole wild thing that I just wanted to be clear.
Yeah, like, no.
It was a polarizing game, you know?
Oh, sure. No, you're among friends here. It was Last of Us Part 2 was amazing.
Yeah. No, we all loved it.
Yeah. It was all of our game of the years.
Yeah.
I mean, it was mine too. And I say that because, like, the first game was my favorite game. Like, it's like, it would be like if somebody was like, hey, you want to be in Star Wars? You're like, I know exactly what to do to be in Star Wars. My brains live there forever.
It was one of the rare games where, like, every fucking performance was amazing. Like, it was so hard to pick and choose between either of them, because everybody sort of had their moment on screen that made you feel. And I'm here in my apartment, just tears rolling down my eyes, like, in so many different sequences. So I'm used to playing a lot of different games where, like, that person's the star of the show and the other people you may not have heard of, and, you know, whatever, they do a fine job. But this one was just like, god damn, like, Troy Baker probably spoke the least of a lot of the actors in that game and was still just amazing every time he was on screen. But yeah, we all loved it, Shannon. You're amongst friends here, okay?
No, I figured, but just, you know, people listening, I just want to, it was wild. I guess I have a little bit of, like, a trauma from being like, no, I love all these people and I loved making it.
Were you ready for that? Not obviously the reactions to Last of Us Part 2, but more of the thing. I think you kind of had this moment, right, where it was that you were on Twitter as much as so many gamers are. And again, it's that thing where I think so many people knew you obviously as an actor, but to see you come out and be like, oh no, I love video games, and then be in this video game, it felt like all of a sudden I saw you being retweeted, interacted with from the industry and the fans in a way different way.
In the pandemic, I came out as a nerd. That's what happened. I joke about that, where like everybody I knew already was like, Shannon is just such, ask Shannon. I don't know. Shannon will know. Yeah. About nerd stuff.
It's like, you need to turn off the HTTP. It's a setting in the.
Carrier screen. Just come over. Don't worry. I'll fix it. I think it just, there was no reason for me to, for people to know. But then, you know, once, also, I've been working on it for 5 years. So, like, so much of my time was spent with all of these people that work in games. And so that meant, like, I got to hang out with them and I got to, like, go to fun video game stuff. And all of a sudden, people were like, wait, Shannon's gone to E3 for 10 years. How did that, how do we not know that? I'm like, nobody was interested in me.
No, yeah, you weren't walking the floor and people were like, that's the girl from The Riches. Like that.
Yeah. Not a lot of crossover audience.
I won't lie to you. You know, again, you're this weird quantity where I feel like you've been around a long time. Like you retweeted yesterday, right? An image of you on Clarissa Explains It All. And I was like, yeah. I didn't realize that was you. But when I saw the clip, I was like, oh, right. That's you. And that's, I feel like in my life of watching TV, like, you know, we're contemporaries obviously in age, so it's like I've seen you in so much stuff where I'm like, oh, it's that girl or whatever, right? And this was the thing of like, I think maybe
again,
yeah, they keep casting her, why? No, but like, when you were on Westworld, it was like, oh, I recognize her, you're one of those people, right? I know that, I know her from something. And then when you got Last of Us and you started interacting, it was like, okay, cool, Shannon, like there's this thing to it. But looking through your IMDb and today and seeing The Riches, I had a moment of sitting there and going like, I loved The Riches. Who was she in The Riches? And then it was like Dee Dee. And I like stared at it. I was like, Shannon was one of the main characters in The Riches. And I like, because when I met Eddie at a Powers event at New York Comic Con, like I was like, yeah, this show's great, blah, blah, blah. Let's talk about The Riches. The Riches was amazing. Yeah. He's like, oh my God, thank you. And like Todd Stashwick, right? Same thing. First time I ever got to talk to Todd, I was like, yeah, that's great. The Riches was awesome. And you were terrifying on it and stuff like that. Like there's a bigger crossover for The Riches than you think there are.
No, for sure. I mean, The Riches was like a super beloved show and we all loved it too. And I mean, we've talked a million times about like trying to do something again, especially like 10 years later, especially because I feel like The Riches were the first MAGA family, really, like, let's be honest. it was wild. It just got killed by the writer's strike. And so it was just kind of, yeah, it
left
on
such
really
a cliffhanger,
year.
Right? Didn't it? Like Stashwick, yeah. Like he took the boy and like, he was like going to do this whole
Jared
thing.
Jared Harris. Yeah. Jared Harris was in it because we did an episode of Law and Order together and they were trying to cast this character who was like, who would be scarier than Todd Stashwick? And I was like, I just work with this guy, Jared Harris. He's amazing. You should hire him. They're like, shut up, kid. And then they hired him. And then he got Mad Men after that. And I was like, well.
Another career I've made.
Oh, you bring up Law and Order. I'm interested in that because it feels like with all the, a lot of our cool friends that we have on the show, Law and Order, specifically SVU, seems to be the common denominator between everybody. That like, that is the rite of passing of like, if you are acting in any form, you need to be on a Law and Order.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does it feel that way doing the show? Like when you're part of it, like, do you feel like it's something special that you're doing?
I mean, I was very excited because they offered me the job and I was like, oh, that's fancy. Somebody's just offering me a job. And spoiler alert, I play the killer.
I was about to watch your episode.
Well, watch it because it's way wilder than that. It is really crazy.
That's the best part,
the whole
right?
thing.
That, like, that means that you're like someone special.
The turns,
the killer's the coolest
the
part.
The turns that happen, it is so silly. I cannot tell you. It is absolutely the silliest thing I've ever done. And like, I was thrilled to be there. It was an absolute honor. But I mean, screaming, like, there was a bit where I like cut my own boobs off. And then there's parts where I'm crying on a witness stand saying, look, he cut my boobs off. But it means I did it myself. There's a place where there's a part where I'm covered in rats. There's a part where I'm screaming, crying at Jared Harris in a courtroom getting dragged out.
What?
Some of the silliest things I have ever done in my career are all in that episode.
Shannon, this sounds like a movie trilogy.
Every scene was like, and now you're a new character. It was very, very sweet. There's one part where I'm sobbing in a hospital after I have cut my own boobs off, but I'm acting like somebody else did it. And Mariska Hargitay's like, she's talking to me, and I'm literally crying, like, my life is so messed up. It's literally a line. It's on so much, and like comedian pals of mine will text me just like clips of that and being like, your life is so messed up. However much they paid me will never be enough.
Oh my god.
But it was a hoot. I find it very funny. I think it's really funny, but when people are watching, I'm like, oh boy, have fun.
with the amount of kid actors that, you know, they do it for until they're 12 or 13 and then maybe can't find a whole lot more work and then eventually move on to other career paths or whatever.
That's smart.
I recommend that. Get out.
Exactly. Yeah.
You about the pandemic, Andy?
Was there any point where you wanted to kind of just say like, ah, shit, maybe I should go somewhere else? Or am I going to keep on going with this and sort of chasing this sort of, you know, like, because you're in The Last of Us 2, and that's fucking crazy that you were in Clarissa Explains It All. When you played that clip and posted it on Twitter the other day, I was like, holy shit, I remember this. And that I can't believe that that's the same person as the star of The Last of Us 2 and in Westworld. Like, that shocked me. So, like, was there any point where you said, maybe I want another career path, or am I just going to keep on pursuing acting?
It's kind of... When I was a kid, it was like the thing my parents told me was a job you couldn't really have. Mm. I did not like being told that. And I always felt like they underestimated me. And I was just like, well, if that's the thing you think is impossible, that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I got started. And then I didn't really second guess that until I was doing The Riches. And we were on The Riches, and that show was really tough. We really didn't have very much money to make that show. Most shows, you shoot like a drama episode in, you know, 9 days. So it's really a week and a half, right? 5 days, and then a few, at least like 8 days. We did it in 7. An episode, which was just really hard, which means the hours are crazy. We're constantly just like, it's really tough. It's like square peg, round hole kind of thing. And sure. I was so tired. You know, I was so tired. I was driving to work one day and it was like, I'd only slept like 5 hours. I've been working all week. I was so happy to be there. I loved everybody. I loved doing the show. I loved the role. I was so tired. And I was like, how did I find a job where I have to wake up at 3 a.m. every Monday? Like, what? And I was like, oh, I guess I'd never really considered that I could have just done something else after that conversation with my parents where they said that job was impossible.
I'll show you head down the entire way.
The job, like, I was like, why didn't you just tell me I wouldn't cure cancer or something? Like, it would have been an expensive school, but, like, I really would have committed to that. I don't know if I'd have been successful, but...
I was going to say, at that time, are you also booking other smaller gigs while you're doing The Riches?
Well, The Riches is a full-time job. Like, I mean, I was one of the leads of that show. So basically, like, around college age, when I, like, applied to college, you know, I applied to a bunch of schools, and then I got this movie with Tommy Lee Jones, who was playing his daughter, and it was, like, a big studio movie. And I was like, well... It was like for 3.5 months, we had to go to Austin and we shot it and it was super fun. But I was like, well, I'll do that and we'll see how this goes. And like, if it lulls, I'll just go to college. I'll just go to school and see whatever. Mm-hmm. My dad at the time was still like one of the head programmers at IBM. And he's like, just come work for IBM. And I was like, you are miserable. Why would I want to do like that? So
like, I get to hang out with Tommy Lee Jones. That's I guess depending on who you talk to, that's either good or a terrible thing. But
he was lovely to me. He taught me a lot about lenses. Yeah, he was about to go direct The Three Burials, which, you know, did very well. He's a very good director, and he's going places as an actor.
I hear it's going to work out for him.
Not too long after I did that movie, I got The Riches. Like, I started working all the time after that movie, like doing like lots of guest stars and most of that stuff. Like, I guest starred on like every TV show for like the next 2 years, and then I screen tested for like 14 shows I didn't get before I got The Riches, and it was because I looked so young and like my sense of humor was so dark that people would constantly call me like, she's great, it's just like she's got this like darkness, like she doesn't work on this sitcom. And then it worked for The Riches, and then I started aging enough that like it wasn't weird. Then I was on Raising Hope for almost 5 years. And then right after that, I jumped on Westworld. And then when I stopped doing Westworld, then I created a TV show actually with Annapurna about Nexium. Then it fell apart after we sold it to TNT, and then it fell apart after that. But which happens a lot when you sell TV shows. But so I waited, and I've got a new show coming out in next month on Apple called Mr. Corman with Joe Gordon-Levitt. So I just never did anything because
she just called him. Joe.
Was,
I know. I wasn't gonna say anything. I wasn't gonna say
Joe
anything.
Gordon-Levitt.
Joe.
It. I love
that's,
it.
That's sorry, that's his
ever.
Name. Sorry.
No.
If you know him, if you're in with Joe, you call him Joe.
We're saying that it's super cool.
We love that. We are the last episode we had was with a guy from fandom. We were like, tell us every story, name drop everything. We love it. You're on the show where we want to hear people call Joseph Gordon.
We wish we were close enough to JGL to call him Joe.
We should
or
talk to
JGL.
Him about Hit Record. I mean, he does all kinds of.
Janet, text him right now. We'll wait. Text him right now.
Do not
he's
do that.
New Zealand.
Oh, here it comes. Here
he's
comes
not going to get back.
All right, you got to go see some Hobbit
we
hole.
We finished the show in New Zealand because it wasn't safe here.
Oh, right, because New Zealand locked it down, right? Yeah.
Yep.
You were talking about that earlier, too. You were saying that there's still a lot of stuff, a lot of the COVID restrictions in place, right?
It's still a lot of masks and stuff, especially because there's still so much virus in the community that, like, people can still test positive even if you're vaccinated. So, like, the unions have to basically, they have to agree on new rules before anything changes. It's like a union thing.
Sure.
I saw what a lot of people went through. Obviously, like our production, we were able to very, very easily go just into the places where we spend 90% of our time anyway, which is in front of our computers and PlayStations. Yeah. But like a lot of my friends in the industry are still dealing with like masks and temperature checks and COVID checks every time they have to go places. And it is just tiring. I don't know how you guys do it.
Honestly, the thing for me is just I was shooting something last week and it was just it was 113 and I was in a long sleeve wedding dress with two wigs on and like all this psycho makeup. And I was just like, the mask really throws it over the edge for me. It's the heat that like I don't mind. I was like such a COVID nerd. I was in the Pfizer trials. Like I let them lab rat me. Like I'm all for ending the pandemic and keeping people safe. But it's tough in the heat. I don't mind it so much. Like I love getting tested every day. It makes everybody feel safe to be like, don't worry, got tested, still negative. Got some good news today.
That's cool.
But it's when it's really hot, the masks really suck.
You bring up the test. Rocker22 wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can, to be part of the show, and says, question for Shannon. You participated in the COVID vaccine trials last year, and I'm curious to hear what that experience was like and what concerns you had going in. Was there like a broad call for this? And you're just like, yes, I will go.
I stalked. So here's the thing. I, like like The Last of Us, I stalked my way into the Pfizer trial. Well, like I said before, like our whole industry was literally just shut. There was nothing to be doing. There was nothing I could be doing other than writing. And that's miserable. And so I was reading all the medical preprints, like anything that was about COVID because I wasn't sleeping well. You know, the CDC at the time seemed compromised. Everything was weird. Nobody really knew what was going on. There wasn't clear guidance from the government. It was really like, so it's like the only thing I can do is read these actual studies that are happening myself. And the Pfizer vaccine was just jamming from like May. The BioNTech had already been developing these mRNA vaccines that, I mean, that woman's story is unbelievable. And if any nerds out there curious, Google the woman who discovered like the mRNA vaccine stuff. She's incredible. But
what's the elevator pitch? Tell me the elevator pitch.
She basically like discovered and proved in a petri dish that you could use RNA, which basically is like a messaging system between your DNA and your cells. Sure. And your DNA has to get your message of like what your DNA says to print to your cells. Like to be like, this hair is this color. So print that hair that color. And that's how it communicates from your DNA to your cells. So she was like, if there's a messaging system, if we just created a message that the cells would understand, we could teach the cells to make anything. Now, it would only make it for a short period of time. You would have to continue to give that message, right?
Sure.
Frequently. Like, so that's why it's like not as useful for cosmetics, but she was like, for medical things, like, for example, teaching your body how to make a spike protein and then the basically Lego pieces that would latch onto it. it took 10 years for anybody to listen to her. Nobody would take her seriously. And it happened 6 months before the pandemic. There's a great daily episode about it that's going to do much better. And they basically brought her into BioNTech, and they got a contract with Pfizer to make flu vaccines.
The Daily.
And to develop a cancer vaccine.
New York Times podcast.
Yeah, The Daily.
Yeah, it's a great podcast.
Hey, Greg, I set up my Bluetooth light the other day.
See, we can do things
That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Up until this point, I've heard RNA, and I was like, I'm pretty sure I know what that is. I did not know what that is.
And so it's basically amazing. Like a message, and it's also very fragile, so it breaks down in your body very quickly. It's why you can't test positive just from getting vaccinated, because it falls apart in your arm and you pee it out.
I got like chills by you telling that story about this woman doing that. Like, that's fucking crazy.
She's like modern day Marie Curie. I cannot tell you. Like, she is just like, she rides her bike to work. I'm obsessed with her. Please get a restraining order against me, ma'am, doctor, ma'am. But anyway, so I'd been reading their animal studies with the COVID vaccine the results were, they were through the roof, and they were also like exposing them to so much virus, pumping it into their bodies after they would vaccinate them to see how the vaccine held up, which is also why they didn't have data about mucosal immunity, because they usually see that in animals, but they pumped so much virus into these monkeys afterwards that like they way through the threshold of mucosal immunity. And it was amazing. The results were amazing. So then I'd been emailing through clinicaltrials.gov and calling places locally, like once they started the human trials.
You're just shaking these people down.
They got through 20,000 people. And then one morning, this place on Wilshire in LA, they called me. They're like, hey, you wanted to sign up for the Pfizer trial? I was like, yes.
You're getting called up to the big league.
And then I was like, can I give this number to anyone? They're like, yeah, we need 200 people. So, you know, have them call quick because it'll probably fill up. So my whole family signed up. I mean, 50-50 got placebo. And a lot of my friends did too. Some of my co-stars did it. But I got lucky and I got dosed, and that was pretty obvious. Yep.
Andy, did you know that you could sign up for a clinical trial for a drug?
I did not know, but I imagined Shannon standing outside of this, out of the woman scientist's house, like with the boombox, like Ferris Bueller style, like test me, like
Ferris Bueller. That's who you think it is. It holds up.
He got close. He got very close.
Oh, say anything.
Yeah, it was John Cusack style. Yeah.
There we go. There we go. My bad.
That's amazing. So were you concerned, Shannon?
Did you worry about like any side effects or anything like that?
No, they'd already done 20,000 human beings, you know, like with no side effects. Like it was also pretty clear, like. The vaccine is, it's lipids and RNA. Like it's, you just pee it out. It's tiny fat cells to make it acceptable, the message. And that's it. That like, you know, I honestly, the only concern I had is that I would get placebo, and I really, really, really didn't want to get sick. And I really, really wanted to go back to work.
Sure.
And, I flew to New Zealand like 3 weeks later, and I was really afraid I was going to get sick on that plane.
Sure.
Or get sick and be in New Zealand and feel terrible that I brought COVID to New Zealand.
Yeah, you were the one that reintroduced it into the country.
Yeah.
That would be Larissa Explains It All star Shannon Woodward has brought COVID.
Just so you can tell everybody how old I am also. Yeah, low key.
Exactly. People in New Zealand, like, what is this show? What are they talking about?
I mean, that's a long flight, too. Like, that's kind of scary. It's not like, a flight from SF to LA. Like, that is, we're talking, you know, over 10 hours minimum of a flight. Like, that is, you're in a small space with a lot of people.
Yeah. From Los Angeles. And it was so bad at the time. Actually, I worked on a show in LA the week before. I flew there, and that was the first time I'd shot anything. And like that whole show ended up shutting down like a couple weeks later because they all got sick like the next week because I left on Halloween, and a bunch of people, like, it was a Halloween parties and all that stuff, and people got sick. So it was bad when I left. So anyway, I was, you know, really thrilled. That was cute. I was thrilled to be chosen to be vaccinated. And I had like a mild fever from the first shot. So like I knew, and I was like,
yes. You just got 30. You're just double testing thermometers being like, which one's going to be? What's going to be? There it is. Yeah, I was I just took my first flight. In probably since COVID started the other day down to Southern California to see my folks. My mom's birthday. I haven't seen her in a while. So I was like, I'm going to come down. And I don't surprise her because I don't think she'd react well to that. So I told her well ahead of time, like, mom, coming. If you're okay with that, if not, we can come up with an excuse. But getting on that plane was weird, especially since I'm slightly claustrophobic. So, I never check in on time, and it's a Southwest flight. So I'm always like the butt end of C group. So by the time I get there, I'm like, I know that I'm sitting in the middle row and everyone's wearing masks, and it's been unseasonably hot. I don't know why, probably global warming. And it's one of those things.
We haven't proven that. I don't know
how many times California needs to erupt on fire, like hell's kind of springing forward, but it doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen.
Money for fire, okay? I'm sorry. I live in Los Angeles. It's terrible.
We didn't sweep the leaves.
But yeah, but getting on, you know, you're going to get on that plane. It's going to be hot because they never turn the air conditioning on the runway. And I'm just I'm going to freak out. And I had to like pull the mask off my face a little bit and breathe a little bit and be like, no, you've been here before. Act like you've been here before. Right, Andy? Sure. That's the sports saying.
Act like you've been here.
And then I swear to God, maybe I made this up. Maybe I didn't make it up. Maybe I just made it up right now, Tim. I saw a glint of a silver can of Diet Coke and I'm like, it's all going to be okay. I'm going to get a Diet Coke and I'm going to sit and it's going to be ice cold and it's going to be great.
You don't sleep on planes, right, Nick?
I cannot sleep on planes now.
I can't sleep sitting up. What?
I can. I force myself. I can't stay awake on planes. It's the opposite.
That's
45-minute flight. I got 19 games on my Switch ready to go. As soon as I sit down and hear the engines, I fall asleep.
I wish.
I think I actually
have terrible neck pain when I wake up.
I think
not awful neck pain.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, because you have to do the thing where you're like this, and then you keep cocking your head back. I actually like planes though. I like long plane flights. I find them to be relaxing. I think there's something about, like, I know you can sign on to the Wi-Fi, but I'm too cheap to do that. So I'm like, I have no signal. No one can text me. And if I don't know someone on this plane, no one's going to talk to me or bother me. I can just watch whatever free movie is on the app. I watched Spoilers, the Lego movie. Hadn't really seen that before. Watched about half of it. Didn't go back to it. It's kind of weird.
I hate you. I knew you were going to talk shit. You're such a garbage human
it's
being.
It's not that I'm talking shit about it.
Lego movies? Feud?
No, here's the thing. I love Lego Batman. I just can't get through the first Lego movie for some reason, and I'm not quite sure why. And that's no disrespect to if you have any friends that worked on that or if you yourself did a voice for it, and I just don't know. But I get about 20 minutes in that movie every single time, and I'm like, everything is awesome. I don't need to watch the rest of this movie. I'm good.
God, you're garbage.
See, the thing
I watched Lego Batman. I watched Lego Batman 15 times. I swear to God, I love it. It's one of my favorite movies.
What Nick just said about this whole thing is so funny because, like, I love Nick on airplanes because Nick gets his best work done on airplanes. I'm not being sarcastic, not joking at all. He is just in a zone. The longer the flight, the more high quality work he gets done. He's just sitting there on his MacBook, just like making motion cramps. Graphics. Madness. Yeah. Like,
it is just from it magic, it's just like this, man. Like a T-Rex.
He kills it. Like, he'll do things like, we haven't even discussed editing videos, and we'll like land the plane and Nick will just be like, Tim, I just finished a feature film. And it's like, what the fuck? I didn't know we were doing that. Like, it's the most impressive thing, but it's funny that he brings up the fact of like, I'm there. Hopefully no one else around me knows me and it's going to distract me. I know a lot of people on planes a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm usually with a big group.
So you're going on like E3, it's like the entire industry or whatever, right?
They all leave me alone. We're all just kind of doing our own thing. We might say hi. Maybe the peace sign. That's it. But if you're on a flight with Nick Scarpino, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. It doesn't matter if he's next to you or 10 rows in front of you. You could be watching a movie on the dumb little screen in front of you, and all of a sudden you just hear like Nick from 10 things away being like, Tim! And I'm like, we're on an airplane.
You're the guy who uses seat messaging?
He is the guy who uses the seat messaging.
I will use seat messaging. If there's an eye line to you between the cracks of seats, I will peek between it. I will make sure you see just one of my eyes peeking through. Again, I don't sleep on planes. So if you're trying to relax and sleep on planes and you are there, then you have to hang out with me. That's what's going to happen.
Listen, if I'm on your plane, do not take your shoes off. I will dox you. If I see your naked feet.
Naked feet on a plane, you're a monster.
If I see your nude feet.
No. No. How do you feel about socks?
Everyone I know will know.
Okay.
The whole internet will know.
Now, let me paint a picture for you. Okay. You get on the plane. This is the one time that I have checked in early. You walk past me. You're probably sitting in first class, but let's just say that you're sitting with the rest of us.
Unless somebody's flying me for work, I am 5'2". Okay. I'm in the back end coach.
I'm 5'8". I feel like the only time in life I can excel is when I'm on crammed into an airplane and I just feel just fine. Me and Andy are in that same boat. These savages over here, Greg and Tim, are above 6 feet. That's for the birds. Yeah. You walk past me. You look down. And you see me just pop off one shoe and the other one's just a sock. Are we okay with socks?
You got a sock. That's fine. Okay. I get it.
Oh, great. Great.
But make sure if you know your feet get smelly, bring a sock change, you know?
Oh, keep your foot. No, bring if your feet, if you have stinky feet.
Yeah, you got to keep the shoes on.
You got to keep the shoe on. You better keep those things laced too.
You're wearing. You know if your shoes that you like have a, if they've got a prop, don't wear those on the plane.
Now, Shannon, now, how do you feel about people that bring in beef jerky? And then
okay, we'll, you know,
no, Nick, I'm right like there. Nick,
I don't mind that so much.
All right, perfect. Because I'm right there.
What about
with
sushi?
Nick. No, all right. Well, that's something else.
That was
I'm with Nick. Where I often me and Nick share a bag of beef jerky. Doesn't matter how many people there are between us. He'll be.
Well,
he'll
ask the person.
Yeah, he'll ask the person next to him. Can you pass him the beef jerky?
I mean, we offer the beef jerky to the person if there's someone in between us and they would like some of the Jack Daniels beef jerky. Yeah, you can have a little beef jerky.
I do bring my own snacks sometimes if I'm thinking ahead, especially for long flights.
Of course.
Otherwise, the snacks, they're all carbs or like cookies. And usually, especially if I'm on a long flight, like I'm probably only flying for work and I've probably been exercising a lot before somebody was going to film me. So like. Jerky, yeah, I get that. Like, that's a relatively healthy snack with, you know, a shelf life where it's not going to rot in your backpack.
I'm taking my first flight in 2 weeks since December 2019.
Wow.
And I am really excited to wear my mask on the plane because I get, like, here's the thing. I fall asleep all the time. I fall asleep pretty easily. And it's usually because I'm an idiot and I'm very sleep deprived before every flight.
Yeah.
And I never learn. I will still look at the fucking flight app and book my flight for 6 a.m. And I'll be like, yeah, you can sleep on the plane. It's like, I'm always tired. Terrible.
It's got to be noon.
I would rather fly out at 10 o'clock at night than up in the morning.
It's like you 2 hours to get to the airport.
It's such noon. I never learn. But the thing that I'm excited about is that I can wear the mask. And if I am in like the deepest sleep of all time, I don't got to worry about my mouth hanging out looking all gross and shit.
True.
I got the mask on. Very excited about that. Because for a while, I felt that way with with even my eyes. Like, I would bring the eye mask, right? I would bring the eye mask to sort of black everything out. And I love that on a flight. It's fantastic. And I usually have my soundproof headphones on. And I'm just kind of in a world of ASMR. I'm in a world of ASMR.
Like an STD.
Yeah.
Just needed to put that out there.
Now hold on, Nick. Before we call on you, speaking of the world of ASMR, there's a whole bunch of ASMR on patreon.com/kindoffunny, where of course you can go to get each and every episode of the Kind of Funny podcast. You can get it early, watch it was recorded live. You can get it with the post show. We do each and every episode. And of course, you can get it ad-free, but you're not watching on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Are you, Jack? So here are the sponsors for this week.
This show is brought to you by Canva. Listen. Design is hard. I'm talking about art design. Even making thumbnails in Photoshop can be hard sometimes for me, but that's why I'm excited to tell you about Canva. Kind of Funny loves Canva. Tim Geddes himself says that it is super useful and easy to use. It makes all different kinds of design stuff. You just pick the styles you like and it does all of the work. Super helpful for creators. Canva Pro is the easy-to-use design platform that has everything you need to design like a pro. It's a quick, easy, and affordable way to design whatever you need. No matter what you're creating and sharing, Canva Pro has everything you need in one place, including a collection of over 75 million premium photos, videos, audio, and graphics. Plus, Canva Pro comes with time-saving tools that simplify and speed up the creative process. You get all of this and more in just one Canva Pro subscription. Design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use my promo code. Just go to canva.me/kindoffunny to get your free 45-day extended trial. That is canva.me/kindoffunny. canva.me/kindoffunny.
Now, Nick Scarpino, what are you going to say?
I just had one more light grievance to share with the group, mostly just for the listeners. If you do this, please stop doing this. Please stop just wearing your socks to the bathroom on planes. That is,
don't take your shoes off on plane. Full people, stop.
No, you can take your shoes off.
No, don't you? Yeah, when you start, when you start doing this, this is where you get into the now there is a barefoot, and now there's a barefoot. Somebody's putting up on the footrest and pushing it between the seats.
There needs to be a line.
If you wear your socks to the bathroom, the odds of you getting urine on your sock are 100% high. Just 100%.
Yeah. It's not even odd. It's a fact. It's going to happen.
But think about it. Like, you have your barefoot, you got your socked feet on the airplane, anywhere in your seat. The shoes before you probably stepped in dog poop or had pee on them or whatever. Like, it's not like outside of the bathroom is clean. Everybody's stomping all over that place for 30
seconds. Greg, somebody fucking farted a mile away. Maybe that air is here now. This is no slippery slope, Greg. All right. Chill the fuck out. I'm gonna have my socks exposed, okay? No bare feet.
Of course your socks.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm team socks are fine. I don't give a fuck if it's bathroom or not.
As long as you know that they don't smell. Oh, you know, hygiene's important. You're in very close space. The reason, like, I mean, listen, it's just gross to see other people's bare feet, but honestly, it just drives me crazy because it's such an expression of privilege where it's like, this is my plane.
Yeah.
This is my space. Yeah. You're here in my house. No, in a way that, like, I feel that way. Like, I see people sometimes with their shoes off at the airport, in terminals, like things like that. I'm like, what are you doing, man? Like, this is a shared space.
Now, here's the thing. To defend that to some extent.
Oh, here we go. Here's an old
the naked foot defenders.
I am not a naked foot defender at all. Myself, personally. I am a sock defender. Socks and shoes. Yeah, they're the same fucking thing. Who gives a shit? But like your feet are, your body is being protected, and these are things that you should be washing and cleaning. And I doubt any of you motherfuckers clean your shoes ever. Period.
I do all the time.
Oh, I do.
Well, yeah. Oh, really? Well, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of both of you. I doubt Greg does.
I have. I very much bought into the white tennis shoe look. And so now I have the Mr. Clean Magic Erasers, and I go and I scrub that, and then I'll clean the bottom of the shoe off. So I'm not like,
God bless you, Nick,
bleaching the bottom of the shoe though. So like, I'm not going to lick the bottom of my shoe if that's what you're asking me to do next.
No,
it will not happen today.
No, it will not happen. It's not about licking. It's just about like keeping them clean so they look nice, period, whatever. This is a different conversation. The conversation I'm trying to have right now is airports and airplanes and our rights.
Yeah,
we're paying much money for these tickets, and that money just keeps adding up and adding up, and there's more convenience fees, and like, I'm not going to read all of the convenience fees and what I'm paying for. I just have to assume one of the rights I'm paying for is to be comfortable to some extent, as long as it's not really negatively affecting those around me. So to the point Shen's making here,
it's a social contract.
Like, if you got stinky feet, you should know that, and you should be aware, and like, you should make countermeasures around that.
Throw some odor eaters in there.
Normal people's feet don't smell in socks.
But socks. I think the socks are fine.
Yeah, we've established that socks are okay. Nude feet too far. If you're wearing flip-flops, keep the flip-flop on. Don't take one flip-flop off, cross your leg. I don't want, because, this is not a stink problem. This is more of a safety issue. I've seen people, and by people I mean sometimes I wear flip-flops on planes and I forget to stop doing this, where you take one foot out and it's a naked foot. It's a naked foot, and the cart comes by and just clips your foot. It clips your naked foot.
Proximity too. That's the thing. Like, you have to put somebody in, like, if I have to be 4 inches from your feet, and I don't know you. It's not nice. The social contract has been breached.
Yeah.
I thought Tim was kind of leading us down a path of comfort in an airport. And Tim, were you on the path of reclining the seats?
No.
Recline the seats.
No. The seat recline thing, I think, is a different conversation that I honestly don't really have a stance on that I believe in, because I see both sides. Like, it starts from the function of the seats allow you to do it. I do feel like we are paying for the allowance of the recline.
No, you should be able to
recline. It's like, that is fucking over the people behind us. And I know that more than anybody.
The rule is you can't do it during mealtime. You can't do it during mealtime.
Yeah, but like, I'd say the majority of flights, there's not a mealtime. At least the ones I've been on.
That's true. I mean, it depends on the long haul ones. They say it. They're like, make sure during mealtime you keep your seat up so there's enough room. I mean, I'm a tiny person, so like, I don't even mind. It doesn't even matter to me because I can't sleep. But like, I do hate it if I'm like leaning over and somebody goes boom and they hit my head. I'm like, oh, dude, check the rear view mirror. You can put it back, but you just gave me a concussion, dude.
Yeah, you don't have to go that hard.
See, that's my thing. As a huge dude who travels all the time, right? Like, I sleep just straight up in the 90 degree angle seat they give you. I'm sleeping right there. I'm not going to push myself back there because I'm gaining what? Another 3 degrees. Now it's an 85. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
See, I also, Greg, if I can ask you a question real quick, and I want your honest answer on this. Are you anti taking your shoes off on planes because you wear high top Chuck Taylors and they're just impossibly hard to take off?
Is that a huge portion of it? Yeah. Here's the thing. Here's where this all stems from.
Where's some Vans, man?
I think you'll all understand exactly where I'm coming from. All right. When I was a little young lad and I would go to the store and mom would say, all right, we can get a new real Ghostbuster. We can get a new Batman.
You were 6'1", by the way, at this point.
Exactly. What I'm looking for is the basic, they are in their normal suit, they are ready for anything superhero, right? I'm not looking for Aqua Batman, I'm not looking for Arctic Superman, right? So somebody in the chat, when I was talking about sleeping there and I hurt my neck, like, bring a neck pillow. You don't understand. Before we got all out of shape, and like I've only flown once this year and I didn't fly at all, or you know what I mean? When I was flying every other weekend, I was fucking George Clooney on this thing, all right? Where I had the one bag, I had everything laid out. I knew exactly what I wanted and what I needed. I was there with mission essentials. If I didn't have it, I would procure it on the ground. That was the mission plan. So I'm not bringing a neck pillow. I'm not bringing all these little accoutrements I need. And yeah, I'm only bringing one pair of shoes and they're my lace-up cons. So it's like, yeah, I'm in like wrestling boots. I'm not going to sit there and like do all this stuff, lean back. No, I am there to be uncomfortable, get there as quickly as possible, get off the plane, and I'm there and I get up and you motherfucker rush to the aisle, rush out in there. Like, what are you doing? Well, there's rules for this. There's rules for everything. Don't take your shoes off. Everyone should sit and be miserable on the plane.
No. I consider myself what I like to call the guardian of my row. And what I mean by that is there's always that one person who goes, I'm in the back row. And if I go really quickly, I can skip all the way ahead. And then inevitably that person ends up standing with their butt right here on my, like by my face. And I'm like, I can't stand up. So now I've been eking the, like I'll get up fast and I'll just eke the shoulder out as if to say, this is the implied barrier between you and the exit. You have to wait your turn. If you wait your turn, you will actually get off faster than if you push forward and confuse everything because people can get their bags off and things like that. And I just consider myself a hero.
And are your shoes on or off?
We're all doing our part.
We have to do our part. And, you know, I mean, Shannon was out there doing clinical trials, making sure the vaccines are, you know, they're safe for everyone and effective. And I'm doing my part to make sure.
That was not a selfless move, though.
That was 100% selfish. That was like, I am scared of this.
No, I mean, it wasn't totally selfless. I really wanted that in my body.
No, I get it. I totally get it. And again, I really want to get off the plane faster. So if you're in my way and you don't, and then you're not supposed to be there, then that's on you.
I love kind of looking back at them, giving them look like, no, I know what you want.
No, I know. Yeah.
Because people have never gotten off a plane before on this
plane. No, there's the guy that's like, he's pushing up against and like he's a little too close. And you're like, no, I get it. I know that you wanted to go past me.
But I'm not going
to
allow it.
To run. Everyone else, like that child right there that who's like their parents are trying to get their bag out and the kid doesn't understand anything. I'm like, they need space, right? You're stressing them out. And I will be, I am not tall, but I can take up a lot of like horizontal space in an aisle. I have broad shoulders. So I'll be that person. I don't mind it. Plus, you know, you don't have to make eye contact because Andy, they're behind you.
Oh shit! Yeah, hadn't thought of that.
Shannon,
well, I need to ask: does the wiki feet score of a human being impact their ability to take their shoes off?
It's tough, you know. With 5 stars, it's just like.
Are you a 5-star?
I don't want people looking. I don't want people. No.
Shannon, what if I told you that somebody on this show has 5.3 stars?
Really.
Yes. And someone amazing. Else 3.5.
Someone else 3.5. Wow. A friend of mine texted me a couple of months ago a screen cap of my WikiFeet rating, and I was like, "Wow, that okay." It weirds me out mostly just because, my boobs.
It should.
If I have my boobs out, I assume they're going to be looked at. There's a contract there. I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm gonna. But my feet. They have never heard of sex. They do not understand. They are innocent. They are children forever. I just don't understand. And so I'm like,
Nick, you do that to your score okay. went yeah. down. Nick, you're 4.97.
I was going to say thank you. Can we have the rule? Yes. Okay. Nick is a 4.97 on WikiFeed right
Holy
now.
Holy shit! And I mean, crazy. That might as well be perfect. That's enough. That's good enough to get into Harvard right there.
Yeah. Great. Oh, yeah.
What
I
is
gotta
your...
say though, a 4.97 almost sounds more impressive than a 5.0 something because. Mm-hmm. The latter sounds like some made up bullshit. A 4.97 sounds like you are fucking actually perfect.
You're crushing it.
So who was
you're
the like one guy who went perfect. In there and was like, I don't agree.
He has 13.
I don't agree.
Stars.
I gotta make myself hurt.
It was Greg. We all know.
We do. Yeah, Greg.
I only have the one. I'm not all 13 of them. I'll have you know.
Greg, right. Nick has a 4.97 on WikiFeed. I have a 4.9 on Uber, like as a passenger.
Whoa, yeah. Greg, 2.7.
Greg, you know, we don't need to talk about what my score is, Kevin. You know what I mean?
Down.
Greg dropped.
But, like, to be fair, some of these photos, you got dirty feet. So,
well, dirty, stinky to be feet. Fair, I haven't looked in a long time, and I do appreciate people are uploading new feet photos of Greg. But, like, what I'm saying is the one that was the joke one of after the foot peel, that shouldn't go this hard against my rating.
Oh, you did baby feet?
God.
Yeah, I did baby feet with my wife and our roommate at the time. And so
it's
that. It was great. Yeah. And I was just flaky forever. But I'm saying that people are still using that against me. And then once I said that I cared about this and I didn't like that Nick had a better score than me, everybody has gone in to vote me down, which I don't like. So I need people to go, you know, be on the right side of history, go to WikiFeet right now, log in and upvote me. Give me, you know what I mean? Give me the 15 stars or the
I will not make
Andy,
a login.
Andy, yeah. Say yes. Say yes.
Say yes, Andy.
Say yes, Andy. Go vote for me, Andy.
You really, Shannon Woodward, we said we would get you out around right now. But you said you could bleed over real quick. So I'm going to give you three questions lightning round. Are you ready?
Wait, yeah. And then I have something I realize is coming out tomorrow that I think your audience will like. So I want to talk about that before I leave. But
You have time for all this?
Yeah, let's just do it.
Okay, great. So then first one comes from Cameron Abbott, who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunny and says, this is for Miss Woodward. Raising Hope was one of the greatest shows of all time. Such a brilliant and unorthodox show, were there any particular character or story elements that you still think of as hilarious or warm your heart to this day? Outside of Lucas Neff's impeccable Gollum impression.
Oh my God. Yeah, it was good. I mean, the pantyhose thing really feels like it has like a spot in cultural history. Like, I had no idea that this existed before we started doing this. People listening have no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I was going to say, explain to people who don't know.
We did this episode where my character, like I had been talking to Greg Garcia, our showrunner, was like, hey, like everybody on this show gets to be crazy, but me. And like, that's the thing is like, can I just do an episode where I get to be crazy so I can get laughs? Cause it's not fair. And he was like, good point. So we did this one episode where I was like going off my meds. And they're like, oh, great. And so then I just do all this kind of wild stuff. And one of them is, and I'm like, here's the thing. I have this really bad fear of spiders, and the meds were really keeping that okay, but I cannot sleep without pantyhose over my head because, you know, they crawl in there and they get at you, and that's how they kill you. So then it became this running joke where, like, we would wake up and I would have pantyhose on my head all the time. And now it really, like, people were like, they're right. And so now people still constantly are like, I still sleep with pantyhose on my head sometimes. And I'm like, I've never done that, just for the record.
You're like, this was not a real thing I brought up.
That's a TV show.
All right, your next one is similar to the Law and Order question. You were on Psych, and Nick loves Psych. Tell Nick your best Psych story.
Please.
Oh, I've got a really good one. So John Landis directed that episode that I did. Who did American Werewolf in London, and he also doesn't direct so much after the Twilight Zone episode died. And so there were a bunch of stunts in this. One of them was, I think her name's Maggie Lawson, this actress that is on Psych. Yeah. And we do this where I have an axe and I'm like throwing it into the wall, like trying to kill her or something. And John Landis was like, come on, it doesn't look heavy. And I'm like, well, because it's not heavy. It's not heavy. And he was like, use the real axe. Use the real axe. The people from Universal are there going like, oh, my God, we're going to let John Landis tell the actress she should use a real axe next to this actress right next to her head. And I was like, don't move. I will not miss. And I really just because I kind of like held my arm like this and just went boom, like right into the thing.
Yeah.
But. That was wild. That was really, really wild. And I think somebody told me recently, they're like, yeah, she did an interview where she talked about that, that that was one of the scariest moments of her life when this girl guest starring was like, don't move. Like, he was just screaming. He's like, come on, just really throw it in there. And that's, I was like, okie dokie. I think I was like 22. It was in the between the pilot and the first season of The Riches. So it was, yeah, it was pretty young. Anyway, that was
a great story.
Terrifying. And then the final one is John Bob Stab writes in and says, hey, Shannon, please tell any memories you have starring as young Cherokee Woods in the hit 1996 TV movie Tornado, starring Bruce Campbell and Ghostbuster Ernie Hudson. Thank you.
Oh, actually, those are two different. The Cherokee thing was TV movie. It's two different TV movies. There's one called Tornado exclamation point.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a name. It's on YouTube. I'm only in the intro. I'm like in the sixth grade or something. It's truly one of the worst TV movies. It's really a hoot. Worth your time. Watch it on YouTube. Tornado exclamation point. But I think the other one was another TV movie I did when we were living in Austin, Texas for both of these. I'm sure you can imagine I got the best work and really was A-plus talent. I was great. And I played Angelina Jolie's daughter in this miniseries called True Women. And it was before she was famous. It was right before Gia came out.
What year was that?
I mean, I don't know. I was 13, so 96? Yeah.
Okay, wow. Yeah, it was a while ago.
So what I'm saying is she was the most beautiful person I had ever seen in my life. I was like, I was truly stunned. And she really liked me. I was only there for like a day. My entire part is cut out. I have photos of it, but my scenes were cut. She would like put me on her lap and would like talk to me and hang out. And I just remember being like, this is the most beautiful person I've truly ever seen in my life. And then she became very, very famous pretty much right after that. And I just remember being like, I know her. I know her. I didn't know her.
Yeah, you haven't talked to her that often.
No, we're not friends. But anyway.
You can just tell people you're friends. I'll tell people you're friends for you.
Yeah, sure. No, don't do that. It'll make me sound like a...
Let's make it the headline.
Angie.
Angie. All right, those are your rapid fire questions. What's the thing you want to talk about that's coming up?
So I did this narrative podcast. It's going to be on Audible. It comes out tomorrow. It's based on the world of The Division. It stars me and Katie Sackhoff. We play sisters.
Whoa,
Kate Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica and Mandalorian and all that stuff. We play sisters. It's really fun and it's really compelling. It comes out tomorrow. I just realized I hadn't talked about it at all, that I was like, oh, this is a gaming podcast. This is like definitely the world where that would be applicable. People might
I was Googling for it earlier today because a long time ago you hit me up and said, I'm doing this thing. Like, I'm starting to play. What do I need to like look into?
Yeah,
about
that was
it?
Why, because we were recording and I was like, oh, I've never played The Division. And at first I was like, is it a game? Like, because at first I was like, is it a podcast? Is it a game? I was like, oh, it's a narrative podcast. Awesome. Because like Ubisoft, I didn't know they were doing that.
Sure.
But it's really cool. And I think people are really going to like it. I think there's trailers and stuff that'll call come out, I think, in the morning and stuff when the podcast launches.
Can't wait. Promotional
stuff, but it's cool. It's fun.
Very cool.
Super cool.
Yeah.
Thank you, Shannon, for hanging out with us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
No problem. Everybody, this has been the Kind of Funny podcast. Remember, we have a post show to do. We're doing on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Remember, on patreon.com/kindoffunny, of course, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get each and every episode with the post show we do. However, if you have no bucks toss our way, no big deal. youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe each and every week to have some friends and some bullshit and hang out and have a good time. For now, we're going to say goodbye to Shannon. We're going to go do a post show. But for everybody else, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Hey, say yes. Bye, guys.
Say yes, Andy. Bye, Shannon.